All right. So, quickly, I'm just going to share. What time is it here? 3:20. Wow. Yeah, it's a good thing. I'm just going to share quickly out of the book of Hebrews. We are in Colossians. We jump to Jonah. And you say, Hebrews? Yeah. I just want to say a few words concerning Hebrews chapter 11. And because I can't, I have about, I don't want to keep you long the because our attention spans suffer in these days, you know. And so I just want to bring a bit of a word of encouragement because I'm reading through the book of Hebrews. I don't know what you're, where you're reading at, but I do encourage you to read the Word of God. Spend time with spiritual nourishment. Because sure, this is spiritual food right here. Amen. This is it. You can read Christian books, you can do all that other stuff, but it's not going to feed your spirit. This is going to feed your spirit, okay? So you need to spend time. So, real quick, we know, everyone knows Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3, he said, while we look at the things that are invisible, he says, the things that are important things are the invisible things, the things that we cannot see, while we focus on all the things that we can see. Right? So let me just share real quick that Hebrews 11, I want to share the context, shape the context of it first. Paul is talking to the Hebrew Christians about not giving up their hope and not giving up their faith in what God had promised them. So if we go back to Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 34, let me start with verse 35. He says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And that's very important to set the context, because both endurance and promise that he talks about here, along with faith, all three of those mentioned here are all throughout Hebrews chapter 11. And so he says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Paul is, some believe Paul wrote it, but the apostle, whoever wrote it, be it Barnabas or someone else, the apostle says here that the thrust of Hebrews chapter 11, and we've heard it taught over many years, I've heard it taught many ways, that, and we've heard it taught that, you know, you can believe God for a Cadillac, you can believe God for a house, you can believe God for this, you can believe God for that. But that's not the context that it's set in. Hello. The context that it's set in is the apostle saying that we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. This is about our salvation. This, the whole of Hebrews chapter 11. And so he talks about us. He says, for you have need of endurance, verse 36. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And they, at this particular time, were going through a time of tribulation and suffering because of what they believed, because of the gospel that was preached to them. And he says, listen, don't let go just because you're suffering. Don't let go of your trust in the word of God just because of your suffering. Hold fast to it, because what God promises you, he's surely going to bring to pass. And so, to back up all that he's saying, he goes into chapter 11, verse 1. where it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like what Dr. Oswald Chambers says, and he says this about that verse. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Faith allows the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Right? And so I want us, let me just share a few more to bring continuity and some context to what the apostle is saying here. I've already read verses 37, 38, and 39 of Hebrews chapter 10. When we go through and pick up in Hebrews chapter 12, Paul, or the apostle, says this: therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Back in Hebrews chapter 10, he says this: for you have need of endurance. So it's bookend. In the beginning and in the end, Paul says, or the apostle says, I'm talking about endurance. He says, run with this race set before us with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured. So he's talking about endurance. And what is it that helps the Christian endure? Faith. Faith. Why? Because if God makes you a promise, and the promise is out there, way down there, and God says, I'm going to do this for you, faith reaches out, grabs that promise, and makes it mine now. And that's what happened with Abraham. When God said, Abraham, remember, Abraham didn't have any seed. He didn't have any children. He said, God, you've given me no child. He says, I'm childless. God said, go outside and look up, count the stars, and if you can, so shall your seed be. And Abraham went out. He's no child. His wife is not pregnant. They're old. He goes out. He looks up. And the scripture says, Genesis 15, 6, and Abraham believed God. He didn't see it. He didn't have children. But God promised it. But because God promised it, Abraham believed it, and it made it his then, right at that moment. And the Bible says it was counted unto him for righteousness. So you see, faith helps the Christian endure. Why? Because if God makes you a promise, though he promised it and it's not yours now, it's the promise is afar off, faith says, God, I believe you, and that I'm going to possess that now. See? So faith is very important in the life of the Christian. Why? Because it causes us to endure. It causes us to endure. And so the apostle begins to go off and begins to list, reaches back in the past and begins to list all of these people who by faith received a word from God, received a promise from God. And then because God promised it, they held fast to it and made it theirs then. Right? And so the scripture reads, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. The things which are seen are not made of the things which are visible. This is exactly what he said. This is how the prophetic word actually works. You remember how I said to you concerning Jonah, you do not see the words I'm speaking right now. Why? Because words, listen, words come from the Spirit. Words come from the Spirit. Words are not material. We are made in the image of God, and God created everything we see by his words. And so when God speaks a prophetic word, when God speaks to you, his spoken word creates the reality. That's why it's so important that we believe it. Because what he said, he's surely going to do. And so the scripture says that things which are made are not created by the things which are seen. Why? Because God, each time he speaks, he creates. And he creates our reality by his spoken word. So when God said to Abraham, so shall your seed be, it was already done. It just had time, just had to catch up for it to, for Abraham to realize it. He never saw it in his day. He saw Isaac, he saw Jacob. That was about it. He was gone. Isaac saw Jacob. He blessed Jacob and Esau. Maybe he saw their grandchildren, but he didn't see any more. And they received the same promise. So what has God revealed to you about his will? Because the apostle here goes through a list of accounts of people accomplishing the will of God by the faith of God, by the faith in God. The whole list here is a list of accounts of people, the people of God, accomplishing the will of God by faith in God. What's interesting about Hebrews chapter 11 is that each situation, it was not someone saying, well, I'm going to believe God for a 6,000 square foot, four car garage home. Faith was not given to us so that we can go out and do our will. Faith was given to us so that we could go out and do his will. That's what the prosperity movement got all wrong. Can I hear? That's where the prosperity movement got it all wrong. Because they taught, you want a Cadillac? Believe God. If you can believe it, you can receive it. If you can conceive, and all of these things, and people chasing money and power and all this business, they're like, for real? No way. No. Let me read a few. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Was it the will of God that Abel offer a blood sacrifice? Yes. Yeah. Who established blood sacrifice back in the Garden of Eden? God did. Where did Abel learn about blood sacrifice? From Adam, his father, who told him, God slayed a lamb and provided clothes for your mother and I. And Abel picked up blood sacrifice. Why? Because it's the will of God. Let's take the next one. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Why? For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was walking with God. You think it was in Enoch's heart? You think it just bubbled up out of his heart? I think I'll walk with God today. Hello. No. Just like it didn't bubble up in my heart and in your heart either. We were running 1,000 miles an hour in the opposite direction. But his mercies chased us down, captured us. And now we're running towards him all the time. Right? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear. Listen to this. Being divinely warned of things not seen. Now, he didn't see rain. Was there any word as rain? It had not rained on the planet. Noah didn't even know what rain was. What rain? A mist came up and watered the face of the ground. That's what the Bible says. But God comes to Noah. He says, Noah, prepare an ark. Prepare an ark. Now, he doesn't see any danger. He doesn't hear of any danger. But because he had faith in what God said. Listen, when God speaks to you, that's the moment you obtain faith. Why? Because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when God speaks to you, faith is ignited in your spirit, and you believe. You can't believe until God speaks. None of us can. It's when he speaks. So when he said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, look up at the stars, and if you can count it, so shall your seed be. And when God said that to him, Abraham looked up and he believed God. Yes. Yes, Lord. Isaac believed God. Jacob believed God. Joseph, it said it was revealed to him when the children of Israel, he said when he was dying, he told the children of Israel, listen, God's going to visit you. He was prophesying. He had received the word of the Lord. He said, and God's going to take Israel up out of Egypt. He says, and when he does, take my bones. Don't you leave me here. Take my bones. had received the word of God. God had let him know that this was going to happen. And Joseph believed God and he declared it to his brethren. You see, so all of this, all of these accounts were the will of God. And by faith, they accomplished it all. Why? Because God had spoken in each and every instance. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. He obeyed what? He obeyed when God spoke to him. Why? Because when God spoke to him, faith was ignited in his heart. He believed God and he obeyed. And he, when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Why was that? Why did he go out not knowing where he was going? Because he had faith in the God who told him, I will guide you where you're going to go, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. And so God has spoken to you and I. Hello. So I asked the question, what has God revealed to you about his will? It will require faith on your part, faith on my part to see it come to pass. I call that the sight of faith. The sight of faith. Because faith causes you to see the unseen. Causes you to see the unseen. And so, in other words, God gives us faith to see the will of God done in our lives. I said faith is not about getting what we want. It's not a blank check to get anything we want. It's about God doing and getting what he wants first. First of all. So the word of God comes that we might know and do the will of God. The word of God comes so that we might know and do the will of God, and that happens by when the word of God, the word of the Lord comes to us, faith comes. Then to believe God and to launch out and do that which he has just declared to us. So when you read through all of this entire chapter, by faith, each one of these people, by the word of the Lord that came to them, faith ignited in their hearts, and by faith they stepped out and accomplished what God wanted them to do. That is so extremely important because there was you don't know how much pain could have been saved so many people if they had only known that. I'll give you, I got plenty illustrations, but I don't like to out other people. I'll out myself. I'll out my sister too. I shared it before. Ain't nothing. She ain't got no problem. You know, life is life. Hello. Come on, we learn. But I remember the day when my sister, she got saved. We all got saved. I was 19 when I was saved. She was 20-something, whatever. And she went and bought a car. And said she was going to believe God for the payments. Didn't have the payments. But the faith teaching of the day said, you go out and do, basically go out and do what you want to do. And just believe God. Hello, I had my mother gave me my grandfather's car, a 1966 Chevy Impala. Loved it. That thing was beautiful. And, I took care of that thing, you understand. But one day it broke down. And so I put it in the shop. Doesn't matter, I didn't have any money to get it fixed. I put it in the shop and said, I'm going to believe God. Hello? I'm going to just have faith. I'm going to believe God. Well, you know, if God didn't tell you to do it, you can believe God all you want to. Hear me. But if God didn't tell you to do it, it's on you. It's on you. And so I put it in the shop. They said, well, this is what it's going to take to get it fixed. And I'm young, man. I'm like 19, 20 years old. I don't know anything. And they didn't have any common sense. Flow in the spirit, see people get healed, prophesy, word of knowledge, all that. But they had no, you know. And I put the thing in the shop. And I didn't have any money, so I said, well, I don't have any money to get it fixed now. They said, well, you know, while it's here, there's a shop fee, there's a storage fee, and it's collecting. I said, okay, Lord Jesus, help me. You know, and I, wait a second now. God will let you, he's going to teach you, said, like my country people say, he's going to learn you something. No, he's going to teach you something, see, as a young person. And so I'm praying, and then the letter came in the mail. It says, we are going to auction your car off. And if we get the money that you owe for all the time that it's been here, we will apply that to the balance, and if it covers it, fine. But if it doesn't, we coming back to you. And I took that letter. Good, I'll never forget it. I took that letter. You remember when they came up to Hezekiah and they gave him that letter, and the Sennacherib or whoever, and he said, Hezekiah went up before the Lord and he laid the letter out. The Bible says he laid it out. He said, Lord, you see this. I was like, Hezekiah, I laid that letter out on my bed. I said, Father, look at this. I don't have no money. They're coming to get me, Jesus. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I shouldn't have put that car in there. I ain't had no money. So I said, Lord, please let it cover the cost. And I never heard from them people again. But I learned something. I learned something. Don't do that again. Well, my sister went out and bought her car. She didn't have the money to make the payment. She says, I'm believing God. God's going to bless me. I'm believing God. Yeah. She believed God until one day she woke up, went outside to get in her car. No more car. Huh? And now, all of that happened because some folk was on the radio and on television saying, if you believe God, you can have just about anything you want. Name it and claim it. Yes, some of y'all been around. Name it and claim it. Oh, you had your share? Oh, yeah. So what I'm saying is, I'm saying that the context of this passage of scripture was never name it and claim it. It was never to indulge our fleshly appetites for whatever the world, whatever glistened, and we thought we would run after it. The apostle is talking about those who would turn away from faith in Christ unto perdition, because when the disciples in John 6 left Jesus, Jesus turned to the apostles and said, are you going to leave me too? Peter said, where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of life. There's no place to go. And so the apostle said, don't turn back from Jesus, but press forward. Endure to the end. And then he lays out all of these examples of those who by faith heard the promise of God and they endured, because through faith and patience, through faith and endurance, you obtain the promise. Listen, not promises that we make up for ourselves, promise that God makes to us, promises that God makes to us. It would save would have saved an extreme amount of hardship in the body of Christ if the word of God was rightly divided, hello, and applied. But God help us. God help us. Let me read a few more. Just because I want to drive home, I want you to see when you read this, And for us in our lives, back to the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, my will be done. But that's what we do. That's what we do. Thy kingdom come, my will be done. Jesus never mentioned my will. And this whole chapter is about the will of God being done, because God spoke to the people, and by faith they laid claim to it. And even though they didn't see it come to pass in their generation, it did come to pass. And so the scripture goes on and it says about Abraham in verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. The land of promise. And remember what I go back to chapter 10 where it says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What was the promise that he was talking about in chapter 10? I'll tell you what the promise. The promise was eternal life. That promise, no other thing down here can hold a candle to it. Nothing. You can promise me the wind. Some dude just won $315 million in the lottery. Welcome to a terrible life. Hello? Welcome to an absolute terrible life. No, doesn't compare. And so, but listen to this. It says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac. Oh, I could preach there. dwelling in tents. Some of us still believing for that big house. Oh, Lord, maybe I'll have it. I'm so tired now, I don't want to see a big house. Lord, give me something small. Wife said, the grass need to be cut. Baby, I don't want to cut no grass. Lord Jesus, give me something small. And you get so old. Listen, when you get so far down the road, you begin to say, what? Are you serious? The bigger it is, the more upkeep, the more work I got to do. Hello. I'm not preparing for a home down here. I'm preparing for my eternal home there. I got one amen out of that. But he was dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So you see promise mentioned in there. For listen, he waited, verse 10, for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You waiting for that city? Man, oh, that city is, it's over in Revelation chapter 21, chapter 20. It's there, that city, whose builder and maker is God. Look, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child. Was that Sarah's doing? No. God appeared to Abraham in Genesis 19. When they were going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 18. And he says, I'm going to return to you at the time of life, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. It was the will of God that Sarah have a son. And when God spoke it to Abraham, he believed it. Sarah laughed, remember? She laughed, but then she believed. She received it. Because the scripture says right here, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. When she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so the apostle is over and over again, he's hitting the promise, because he said to the believers that you have need of endurance. So after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So he's constantly hammering that home. Sarah received the promise and God fulfilled it because she judged him who was faithful. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, and multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. What promises? Abraham didn't see his seed as numerable as the stars, but it came to pass. The scripture says they all died, not having received the promises, but listen, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. That was Abraham. He looked afar off. That was Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. They saw it all afar off. And they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And you know, we are too. Strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I don't know if you feel it from time to time. But you feel it. You say, what's that song that they got? It's not my home. You listen to GTS? You know that song? Dun, dun, dun. I don't even know the words. Well, I know it has this refrain that keeps going and says, this is not my home. And I said, God, thank you for that song to a young generation who is learning while they're yet young. This is not your home. We're pilgrims and strangers, and we're just passing through. Huh. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. So all of these, amen, they desire a better country, which is a heavenly. Listen, God promised Abraham Canaan. Abraham saw it afar off. Remember, he bought a parcel of land to bury Sarah in. That's the only inheritance he ever got. God said, I'm going to give you all of this. He said, walk up and through the land, Abraham. He says, I'm giving it all to you. But the only thing he was able to purchase was to bury his own wife. In death, he saw the fulfillment of that word. In the death of his wife, the fulfillment of that word, it began to germinate and pop up. Because in death, life is contained. You know? And that was happening in the book of Genesis, right? And so, but he saw Canaan, but he looked beyond that, and it says here, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. And God promised us many things down here, but it won't compare to that which he's ultimately promised us when Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. All of this was about the will of God. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Who tested Abraham in Genesis 22:1? It says that the time came that God said to Abraham. So you see all of these by faith through Hebrews 11. All of these were by faith because it was the will of God. God spoke to them in each and every instance. God spoke to them by faith. Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw. How did they see? With eyes of faith, God told them, this is a special child. And they kept him back. They held him back. And it says they were not afraid of the king's command. Why were they not afraid of the king's command? Because a greater king had spoken and said, this child. It's a child that I'm going to use. And so they weren't afraid of the king. It was just like in Isaiah 6 where Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the year that this earthly king died, he says, I saw the King of Kings. I saw the King of Kings. And it was faith in him that caused Isaiah to go forward. Right? And so all through the scriptures, by faith, Moses, verse 27, it says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. There's that word endurance, for you have need of endurance. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? Because King Jesus had spoken to him. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Faith sees the invisible. Faith sees the invisible. And so it was in my own life. And I have many instances when Melody's parents were in the church and God deals with me in dreams. And so one day, minding my business on a weekday or whatever it was, I can't remember which day it was, and I have a dream. And so it was Gabriel, Melody was already born. I forget how young she was, but then Joshua was coming. And so I'm at home. I go to sleep. I have a dream. And I see Melody's mother. She's like this. Now, all you men know, you never walk up to a woman. I don't care if she's out like this. You never walk up to a woman. Come on, brothers. You know where I'm going? Anybody stepped in that puddle like I have? You never walk up to a woman and say, are you pregnant? Because I did it to a customer. And she said, no. Glory! And I wanted to run. But anyhow, but see, here's the thing. When God says it, and so I'm at home, I sleep, and in a dream, I see Zelda, and she's like this. Next day, I come to church. Zelda's just flat as she can be. Nothing, no hint, anything. I walked up to Zelda. I said, Zelda, I had a dream. Sister, you're pregnant. She just threw her head back and said, can't hide nothing from you prophetic people. And all she said was, we haven't even told our parents. But yes, I'm pregnant. And she was pregnant with Joshua. And see, because When God says it, I'm saying that faith sees the invisible. The scripture says that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so faith in God causes us to see the invisible. Now, if I didn't have faith in what God showed me, I'd shut up, don't say nothing. Which would have been all right. But I would have never known, because she could have got pregnant after I had the dream. I would have never known. But when I said, sister, I saw you pregnant, she says, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant, but no one knows. But God knows. Hello. Listen, in every one of these instances, God spoke. By the wall, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after it was encircled 7 days. Why did the walls fall down? Because God told the people. God told Joshua, have the people march around the city. It was all the word of God, and by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God spoke, Joshua and them believed, and they acted upon it. Then they saw the promise come to pass. And listen, the same God who spoke then speaks today. Number one way. You say, how does God speak to me through the scriptures? You shouldn't have been minding your business reading. You know, you're reading, and all of a sudden, you'll read a little passage, and it goes, You know, it's like, whoop, there's something in your spirit. You get up and leave. You can't leave it alone. That thing's just ruminating, and you digesting that thing, and it just won't leave you alone. And it's just speaking into your heart. God speaks by the rhema word of God, and that scripture in Romans 10:17, where it says faith comes by hearing, the word is not logos in the Greek, it's rhema, the spoken word. God speaks, right? And so when he speaks, faith is ignited in the heart. He says, what more shall I say, for the time will fail me to tell you about Gideon. Remember that Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press, and the angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, hail, you mighty man of valor. He says, God's going to save you from the Midianites, and he's going to save Israel. He's going to use you. Huh? And when God spoke, faith ignited in Gideon. Now, Gideon was a coward, though. He was a fearful man. And God had to do things to get him in position. But God did, and Gideon believed, and God brought the promise to pass. He spoke to Barak. He spoke to Samson, to Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. All of these, God spoke through his word so that faith would be ignited in the hearts of the people. And so every time God speaks to us, faith is ignited. This is why we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And of all the stuff that we hear every day, and David said, they put me on Twitter. He said, I don't know, you know what Twitter is. You there's so many Twitter people. You follow so many people. You tweets this, tweets that. People tweeting everything. We're in the information just deluge. I mean, so much stuff coming in. I like, turn it all off. God, I can't take it. In my old age, I tell my children, you know, I'm getting older. I can't take a lot of input. Sensory, just overload. There it is. Sensory overload. And I'm like, Lord, I just need to hear God. Shut everything down. I just want to be alone. I'm going to buy me an island. I'm going to build me a little house. It's just me and God. No, but if you need to hear anything, hear me. If you need to hear anyone, it's not the trending Twitter. Hashtag, I don't even know what all this is. Hashtag this, hashtag that. We need to hear God, church. We need to hear God. So my prayer is that we do not lose hope in the promise of God, but through faith and patience, receive all that God has promised us. Amen? Now, he's speaking in our lives. Sometimes he speaks, we don't even clearly discern it, but he's speaking and showing his way and wanting his will to be made known. And so when he does, we need to receive that and believe him. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you that when you speak, you create, Lord, that which we need to live. Lord, you create and sustain us. You wake the dead when you speak. my God, you, oh my Lord, and you cause things to happen, oh my God. Lord, when you speak, you set in motion, Lord, processes, oh God, and your will, oh God, watching over your word to perform it. So we thank you, oh God, for every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And I pray, oh Lord, that we would be in such a place to hear the word of the Lord revealed to us that when you speak, we lay hold of it. Lord, we treasure your word. We capture it, oh God. Father, and we agree and align our lives with the will of God so that every promise of God that you have uttered, Lord, would be sure and would be ours, oh God, and we would realize the fulfillment of it in our lives for your great glory and the good of all those around us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you.